Kufar Akbar, everybody, hello. This is another edition of Radio Free Kafir Stand, a radio program that is always been and will continue to be a program dedicated to dividing the truth between Christianity and Islam. We examine the evidence for both of these faiths in order to arrive at the truth that leads us to this end. Thus go we. Shalom, peace, and blessings. Of course, this is your humble host, Eric Zekifer, coming to you live from the cavernous depths of the Kafir Cave in Dar al-Harb, Kafiristan. We are here on the Global Patriot Radio Network every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we are also streaming. We have gotten fancy this last year. We are streaming to three different locations, to two pages on Facebook, and of course, over here on this screen, I always pull up the YouTube. This way I can watch the remarks in chat. Keep in mind that a kafir, Zekifer, is someone who does not heed the beliefs and prescriptions held by the religion of Islam, according to the New Encyclopedia of Islam, not me. It's not somebody who's a disbeliever. It's not somebody who doesn't believe in God. It isn't somebody that could cover. It is somebody who does not heed the beliefs and prescriptions held by the religion of Islam. Kafiristan is Dar al-Harb, and that means it's a house of war, meaning that the Sharia, the Islamic law, is not allowed to be applied in this country, and it will not be as long as I draw a breath. And funny thing is that is kind of what the show is about tonight. We are going to be talking about the Sharia Islamia. We are going to be talking about one of the main clauses that concerns Christians in the Sharia, in the Islamic law, and that is the apostasy clause. And the reason why it concerns Christians is because there's parts of the apostasy clause that, well, they pertain to Christians, and you would want to know if this law pertains to you or not. So what I want to do is I'm going to start the show by just giving you a brief overview of the definition of apostasy and what Reliance of the Traveler says it is. And then we're going to flip it over to our friend John Isaac, because he has a couple things that he wants to talk about on this. And then our lady gal, Frank Kahn, Connie, who is called Standing in the Gap today, and she's going to explain to you guys why she's called herself Standing in the Gap when we get to her. So let's go ahead and start off with what apostasy is. According to this book, this little green book, not the Quran, but the law that is derived from the Quran, from the Sirah, and from the Sunnah of Muhammad. And it says here on page 595, apostasy. That's they call it division 0.08.0. Okay, anyway, it says, leaving Islam is the ugliest form of unbelief, kufar, and the worst. And then at 8.1, it says, when a person who has reached puberty and is sane voluntarily apostatizes from Islam, he deserves to be killed. So that's the penalty for apostasy. And then to go to point two, it says, in such cases, it's obligatory for the caliph or his representatives to ask him to repent and return to Islam. So, you left Islam. You need to repent. You need to return to Islam. But it goes on to say, if he does, it is accepted from him. Welcome back. Don't do that again. But if he refuses, he is immediately killed. 8.3, let's not even go there. I want to go down to point four. There's no indemnity for killing apostates. And what that means is that if somebody, for example, a frequent guest on the show, John Isaac. John, I'm assuming that you're an apostate from Islam. Is this true?
It's true.
It's true. So anybody can go up to John and kill John. And there's no indemnity. There's no punishment for killing John. Why? Because John left Islam. He's an apostate from Islam. So if you're an apostate, you can be killed. The death penalty of apostasy is death. So what acts, if I'm a Muslim or even if I'm not a Muslim, I want to know what apostasy is, because if you be killed for it, you want to know, well, what was that I'm being charged with? Okay, so among the things, this is 8.7, among the things, this is page 596, that entail apostasy from Islam, to prostrate to an idol. Bad idea. The Kaaba is not an idol, folks. The stone in the Kaaba is not an idol. Perfect monotheism. Let's see here, to intend to commit unbelief, that doesn't matter, to speak words that imply unbelief, such as Allah is the third of three. Boy, I wonder where they got that idea. I wonder who that applies to. Allah, the Father, is the third of a trinity. Number four, and here's where people on this panel, on this show, would have a big problem. We would be literally dead to right. To revile Allah. But it doesn't stop there. To revile Allah is a form of apostasy. To blaspheme God. And I would think that, the people on the panel here would not blaspheme God. But it doesn't stop there. It goes to revile Allah or his messenger. So if you revile, if you revile Muhammad, that is a form of apostasy, and that is punishable by death. So when we look, or to deny any verse of the Quran or anything which by scholarly consensus belongs to it or adverse to it, it does not belong to it, that's apostasy. And there's some other things in here. To deny the obligatory character of something by which consensus of Muslims, yada, 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 to revile the religion of Islam. Boy, we do that quite a bit here. So all these things include apostasy. So the people on this show could be charged with apostasy. And what was the penalty? A little pop quiz here.
Immediate death.
No. Okay, quit shouting out the answer. Okay, it's either A, immediate death, B, a slap on the wrist, or C, a conversion to Christianity. No, it is immediate death. Yeah, of course, that's what the penalty for apostasy is, and that is what apostasy is. So now that we know what it is, let's go to John. Now, John, did you want me to bring up something before you got started on this?
Begin with Surah 4. Verse 88 and 89.
Okay, let me
speak about them.
Let me share my screen. Share.
We Muslims saying that apostasy is the law is not in Quran, but let us see if this is true or not.
Okay, so we're gonna go to we are 488. And 488 is right after 487, I'm assuming. Okay. Any particular version?
Any version. I have Fiqh International, okay.
Okay, so let's go ahead and read the...
If you can read it, it will be fine.
Okay, so let's go with just the Sahih International. What is the matter with you that you are two groups concerning the hypocrites, why Allah has made them fall back into error and disbelief for what they earned? Do you wish to guide those whom Allah has sent astray? And he whom Allah sends astray will never find you or never find for him a way of guidance. And then let's go for it. Okay, go.
What happened? This verse was revealed to Muhammad at the day of Ghazwat Uhud, or the holy war of Uhud. The second war in Islam, and Muhammad lost it greatly and was about to be killed at this day. After this war, Muslims are divided into two groups. One group, they saw like some of their families, some of them are leaving Islam, and they are the Muslim divided into two groups. One group says that we should forgive the people who leave Islam, okay, because they can't continue in this war, in this fight. They would like to return back to Mecca, to live beside their family in Mecca after the immigration or hijra to Medina. And the other group said, no, we should kill them. Who leave the Islam should be killed. And this verse was revealed at this point. This verse says, Allah was speaking to people, telling them, why are you two different paths for the hypocrites? Call them the hypocrites, the people who left Islam after they announced their Islam and they immigrated to Medina. They were called hypocrites. After Allah, as written in the verse, after Allah sent them astray, do you think, Allah speaking, do you think that after Allah sent them astray, you will find something good from them? This is the verse what it says. Actually, I know that from beginning that we will speak about Surah 489, but we saw one of Dawah preachers, self-proclaimed like Dawah, made a post today. He thinks that he refuted what is written in Surah 489. He posted for Surah 488. Surah 488 shows basically that Allah of Islam, Allah of Quran, is evil. He's sending people to be astray. Not Satan, not the devil. It's Allah himself doing that in Surah 488. If you go to, this is a post. And he made it after I share it to my wall. As soon as I share it to my wall, he take it and post it. I'm sure that he didn't read what he posted. Anyway, then thank you, Lion of Dawah. Because Surah 488 proves that the Allah of Islam, Allah of Quran, is an evil God. Lead the people astray. Let us see now Surah 489.
Okay, let me bring that. Yeah, let me bring that. What did I do with it? I just had it here. 488. There we go. All right. So let's.
Yes, 89.
So that would be right there. All right. So 489 says, they wish you would disbelieve as they disbelieved, so you would be alike. So do not take from among them allies until they immigrate for the cause of Allah. But if they turn away, then seize them and kill them wherever you find them, and take not from among them any ally or helper.
Then Surah 88, he ordered in verse 89 to kill them whatever you find. What is the name of this God? What can you call him except the evil God? God leads the people astray and don't let them go away like that. No, the order to kill them wherever you find them, and don't get them like a friend or something. No, kill them. If you go to Tafsir, you find something interesting. In Mawdudi and Eve, also the line of Dawah, posted part of the Tafsir of Mawdudi. It says there are some Muslims could be hypocrites it, we are living away from land of Islam, like people living in Europe, in States, in Canada. They could be hypocrites if they were asked to help other Muslims in the Muslim land, and they didn't go to help them. Example: we saw 3 years ago or 3 years ago, ISIS is fighting against Bashar al-Assad in Syria. ISIS was asking all Muslims to come to help them. Then every Muslim in the West, in Europe, every place far from ISIS should leave, have money, and has money and can help to go and travel all this distance to fight with ISIS against Bashar al-Assad in Syria. This is why are the good Muslims who apply Quran, apply tafsir, apply hadith on their lives. Otherwise, they are hypocrites. And this is what happened in Ghazwa Uhud, or the war of Uhud. What happened after Ghazwa Uhud, people left, they said, no, we don't want to fight. No, no, we don't like to fight. And this was, no, no, no. They left. And they were called hypocrites by Muhammad and Allah in Quran. And Allah ordered to kill them. Then what ISIS said, ISIS asked people to come to help them against Bashar. Some people came. They are the good Muslims. And the other are hypocrites, including Line of Da'wah, because they didn't travel to Syria to fight against Bashar al-Assad.
Okay. Well, it says, hold on, just a second, John. You're saying that since the Lion of Da'wah didn't go to Syria, then he's a hypocrite.
I didn't hear that he went to Syria. No, I didn't.
Well, I'm trying to figure out, okay.
He is traveling from America to Malaysia to America many times, but he never traveled to Syria to fight and follow what he posted today. He didn't follow what he posted.
Well, I did have it up. Let me bring that back up. Here we are. Okay, there we go. This is the second thing that you had sent me.
Yeah.
Is this what you were talking about, or are you just talking about his little mindless misspelled rants?
Non-Islamic territories can be called hypocrites only when the domain of Islam either extends in general invitation. No, the other one. No.
Okay. Okay.
At the beginning, it's obvious that Muslims living in non-Islamic territories like Lion of Da'wah can be called hypocrites only when the domain of Islam either extends to general invitation to all of them, or at least leaves its door open for them. In such circumstances, all Muslims transform from the non-Islamic territory into the domain of Islam. This is an invitation, like, I invite you to help me in the fight against Bashar al-Assad or against Israel in Gaza Strip.
Okay. John, let me ask you a question.
I can give you the link of Maududi where he copy pasted this stuff. I'll put it in the chat.
Okay. And people can pull it up. Yeah, let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen the movie The Wizard of Oz?
Can you share it?
I don't see. Where is it? Did you?
I put it in chat here.
Yes. Okay. Here we go. Yeah. Let me drag it over here. Wait a second. Hold on. No. Okay.
And can you zoom it in once you get there,
yeah,
Eric?
Let us go down.
Can you see it?
No. I'll go down. Go down.
Maldudi. Maldudi, right there. Is that it? Oops.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you want me to read here?
Go down a little. Go down a little. Go up, yeah?
Here Muslims have... Okay, so where it's...
It's the same word as he posted. Go little up.
Can you zoom in a little bit, Eric?
Okay, let me zoom in, because I think if I zoom in, I'm at 200%. I think if I zoom in any more.
Yeah, it's right, but it's slow.
Okay, I got to go down.
Good, Eric.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. Is this one? It is obvious that Muslims living in the abode of unbelief may be declared hypocrites.
Maybe declared hypocrites. They would call hypocrites. If for not migrating only if a general invitation is extended to them. It's the same word that he posted, Lionel Dawa posted in his post. The same words. So the, by the people living in the line in the land of Islam. Land of Islam asking people to come to help. They are called hypocrites if they didn't come. Okay? Or at least the doors of the land of Islam are kept open for them. In such a case of these Muslims who may be doing nothing to change the land of unbelief into the land of Islam, nor immigrate to the land of Islam, even they could declare it as hypocrites.
Yeah. Okay, so if they didn't heed the call of...
The real Muslim. Otherwise, they are hypocrites. And Surah 489 should be applied to them. These are not my words. It's the line of Dawah words and also Tafsir plus Quran.
So should we call him instead of the Lion? I think he goes by the great American Lion of Dawah. So, and the reason why I ask you... Okay, well, hold on. No, this is kind of important clarification here. Because have you ever seen The Wizard of Oz? John, have you ever seen the movie The Wizard of Oz? Hi, Steve. The Wizard of Oz. Have you ever seen that movie where Dorothy and Toto and the Wicked Witch of the East? Have you ever seen this movie?
No.
Oh my gosh, where are you from? Egypt or what? Okay. Hold on, just a second. Okay, The Wizard of Oz is an American classic movie. Okay, and in Dorothy's little trip, she meets three people. She meets a scarecrow who's as dumb as a box of rocks. She meets a tin man who has no heart. He has no empathy from anybody. And then she meets the cowardly lion, who's this ferocious lion, but he's scared of his own shadow. So I think instead of calling Marshall the great American lion, we're going to start calling him the cowardly lion of Oz, is what we should call him.
I am sure that he didn't read what he posted. He just copy-pasted without reading, without understanding. This is a problem. And unfortunately, other Muslims are deceived. They make like on his post and said, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, MashaAllah, for what? We prove that Islam... the God of Islam is evil, leads people astray, and also orders the kill after leading them astray. It's evil God. And we prove that ISIS, helping ISIS in what we did, what she did, what they did against Syria and Iraq, whatever, is a good Muslim. Otherwise, you are called hypocrite.
Yeah, and it's...
Read what you post, just as I'm saying, read what you post. That's it.
Well, I think he just wanted, he probably, if you look at where he posted, because he's created this, I guess you can't see it, but he's created Facebook pages focused on this show. I doesn't say what he calls the show is what, is where I don't think I can zoom in.
And then on your mouse thing, do the little wheel.
Okay, control.
Press the control key and do the little mouse like it's
bringing
it towards you. See it.
No, can't do it. It's not going to, hold on,
control,
let me.
And then mouse wheel.
Why do you guys got to get me fancy here on air? I can't do these things on air. Hold on. I can't get it to do it. It's not doing it for me. Control. I have a wheel on my mouse and it's not doing anything. Not making it any bigger, not making it any smaller.
Not when you're, but you got to press the control key also.
I am. Control.
You know?
Control, I am.
And wheel it.
No.
And it's not doing it.
Okay. Not working.
I guess you'll have to choose from your screen and say 300 or 400.
Yeah. Okay, so, John, what else do you got to add to that?
It's related to the subject, but a little bit related to the Quran in general.
Okay.
We see in Quran a lot of verses contradict each other because our subject today is about prophecy, and people may go search, find a verse in Quran speaking about people left Islam, then respond and lead Islam, and Allah didn't force us to kill them. Okay? They come, look, Islam never speaks about apostasy, never speaks about killing apostates, nothing. You are Islamophobe, you are hating, you hate Islam. Okay? We see in Quran there are a lot of verses contradicting each other. Each verse, you can find another verse opposite to it. The only solution the scholars of Islam found to solve this problem is called abrogation. And abrogation is written in verse in Surah 2 in Quran, that Allah abrogates verses with another verses to the same or better. Okay? And I'll give an example now by a verse that our friend Akana likes to post everywhere. When we go everywhere, he likes to post it here, there, every post he posts. And he's telling us we are liars, don't know Islam. Let us see. This is, let me tell you exactly.
289, 288.
Surah 262.
I was wrong. All right. 262.
Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah 262. I feel like, this is very difficult.
No, 262. Yeah, not 262. Not 62, 262. No. Well, I thought it, I had it. There we go. Okay, is this it? So how?
No, you're in chapter 4 there. You
golly, Kaffir, get with the program here. Sorry. Sure, okay, it says, indeed, those who believed and those who were Jews or Christians or Sabians before Prophet Muhammad, those among them who believed in Allah in the last day and did righteousness will have the reward with the Lord, and no fear will there be concerning them, nor will they grieve.
Very, very peaceful, very beautiful verse. Look how Islam is beautiful. It says that Jewish, Christians, Sabians, all of them will go as soon as you do good deeds and you believe in Allah, you will go to heaven. Why are attacking Islam? Let us go. Another verse. Surah 385.
Look at that. I got it right this time. 385. There we go. All right.
Yeah, very good.
Can you zoom in? Let
me zoom in. Okay.
Zoom into that bad boy.
All right. What we need to do is we need to start wearing glasses here.
With your Zoom.
It's not allowing me to do that.
Okay,
here's what it says. It says, and whoever desires other than Islam as a religion, never will it be accepted from him, and he in the hereafter will be among the losers.
Other than Islam will not go to heaven. Other than Islam will not be accepted. Then read contradiction between two verses, Surah 262 and Surah 385. What solution scholars of Islam say? It's abrogation. It's not my own. It's abrogation. If you go to the any tafsir, Surah 2, the first one of Jewish and Christians will go to heaven and are good people and don't worry about them as soon as they believe in Allah. If you go to any tafsir, like tafsir al-Qurtubi, tafsir al-Tabari, they are not in English, unfortunately. They are in Arabic only. They say this verse is abrogated by this surah. Surah 3, verse 85. If you go to Tafsir Ibn Kathir, there is a condition. The good verse, the peaceful verse of Jewish and Christian, there is a condition that you should believe in Muhammad. Then you are Christian, believe in Allah, and also in Muhammad to go to heaven.
Shirk.
But this is what's happening in the tafsir.
It's very hypocritical.
Go search any tafsir and tell me something else except what I say. is an abrogated. Abrogated means we can't apply this verse anymore. Yes, it is in the Quran. We can read it, we can understand it, under conditions that Allah change it or abrogate it, displace, change it with another verse better than it. Better than with Surah 3, verse 85. Or you should be a Jewish or Christian and believe in Muhammad. It's a condition. It's written in the Kaddish. This is not just a matter to say because there are many verses in the Quran, peaceful verses, was revealed in Mecca, and another full of hate speech and full of killing was revealed in Medina, and all this Medina abrogated the others in Mecca. Then we can't understand the Quran by taking one verse and run. What is this verse? What is the reason of the revelation? When this happened, was in Mecca or Medina? What the tafsir says about it? Without all this stuff, we cannot understand Quran. And also, this is not my words. These are the words of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ali ibn Abi Talib, cousin of Muhammad, the first caliph, stated that in Arabic, Al-Quran hammalu awjih. Quran can be understood in different ways. I can't understand Quran alone without going to tafsir, going to hadith, to get the whole picture. This is what we do now.
So it's not only now Allah with the Quran, but it's Allah with many men. So it's shirk. So it's back to shirk.
Yeah.
So Islam is the hypocrite.
Yeah, I think what we need to do is, you know, maybe some time into... Yeah, and that's what I think. That's a good segue into what Connie's going to go into. Thank you for that, John. And what we'll do now, you're more than welcome. I appreciate you and your expertise on that. All right, Connie, let's go ahead and share your screen. And there we go. I think we are up. Okay, so this 489. Go ahead.
Okay, this is 489. This is in Medina. So this means that it has abrogated all the nice ayahs in the Quran. So it says here, they wish that you reject faith. I question that faith because it talks about dirty stuff. As they have rejected faith, and thus that you all become equal. Look at this. Is this modern times here? Like one another. So take not protectors or friends from them until they immigrate in the way of Allah to Muhammad. And look at this. They even showed shirk here with Muslim Khan, Allah to Muhammad. But if they turn back from Islam, Muslim Khan says, take hold of them and kill them wherever you find them. And take neither protectors or friends nor helpers from them. So Islam begins with flattery with the Meccan verses, and then it turns into murder.
And that was what John was talking about. That's what John was talking about when we talk about the law of abrogation or the rule of abrogation.
Yeah.
And I think
this is in Medina here.
Right, but what I'm saying is that before when people start talking about how peaceful, right, but before when he was in Mecca, those are the more peaceful verses is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, we've got flattery here. They're flattering us. Yeah, Christians, Sabaeans, which were star worshippers, and Jews. Oh, yeah, we're all going to go to heaven as long as we believe in God. Well, we're Jews and Christians. We believe in God. We're the one that's taught them God. See? So they're actually just condescending to us.
Shock.
Very rude. Okay, so then now we're going to see. Let's see, Jella Lane. Here's Jella Lane. then if they turn away and remain upon their ways, meaning they're not going to be going in the ways of Allah to Muhammad, take them as captives and slay them wherever you find them. So this is Jalalain, and let's find Ibn Abbas.
Okay. There you go. Mm-hmm.
Ibn Abbas. If they turn back, okay, this is, all the parentheses ones is what the Quran says. So Ibn Abbas is saying, the Quran says, if they turn back, and then Ibn Abbas says, from faith and immigration. Then the Quran says, then take them, and Ibn Abbas explains this as prisoners. And then the Quran says, and kill them wherever you find them. Ibn Abbas means that this says, that this means in the sacred precinct or anywhere else. And the Quran says, and choose no friend. Ibn Abbas says that this means in religion or for seeking assistance and backing. The Quran says, nor helper. Ibn Abbas means that this means a protector. Quran says, from among them. So if they turn back from faith and immigration, then take them as prisoners and kill them wherever you find them, in the sacred precincts or anywhere else. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Okay, so let's make sure that we understand this, because sometimes, you know, what we'll say is that the Quran teaches that Muslims can't be friends with Christians. So when we go down here, it says, and choose no friend. And choose no friend. And that means in religion. So, right. And they're not to give assistance to. This is why when COVID hit, what country is it? It wasn't, it was in Indonesia. I think it was in Indonesia. I might be wrong on that. But when COVID hit, it wasn't Indonesia. I can't think what country it was, but it was maybe Bangladesh. I can't remember. But it was a predominantly Islamic country. And all of the assistance, when the economy, everything shut down and the food was starting to be, I don't think it was rationed, but it wasn't being given out, the Christians didn't get any. Why? Because the money to buy the food was used to buy food to go to the Muslims first, not the Christians. So when we start talking about the assistance part of it, that was, I'm going to look up, I'm going to find out. Exactly. I'm going to find out which country that was. I can't remember which one it was off the top of my head. But it was just sick. Yeah. Well, yeah. That's the Sharia for you.
I mean, because you've got all kinds. You've got all kinds of people living everywhere. Buddhists, Hindus, and non-Muslims, non-Buddhists, non-Muslims. I mean, jeez. Wow. You know.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that's probably where they derived that from, that verse right there, or that part of the verse.
We should be shouting that on the housetops. We need to do it.
Well, if you shout things on the housetop, you get accused of Islamophobia, get called a hate preacher, they try to come find you and get you fired from your job. I mean,
you say what's right, hate what's evil, and you love what's right. It's right to feed people. I mean, they're a pandemic. You don't just choose. I mean, how would the Muslims feel if we only fed the Christians? See, you do unto others as you would have others do.
And that was the point that we were making, that they do not have. We were talking about that before the show.
People. It doesn't matter who they are. People. You know, feed them. But anyway.
Well, so that they don't have that goal in Islam that Kenny Charles trying so desperately to cite, and you can remember where it came from.
Oh, God does. That's the truth.
Man, hold on. Oh, I have a sound effect for that. Hold on just a second. Let me see. Here it is. Jim Carrey, all right, I'm sorry, it's my childish little antics. Go ahead.
Okay, and this is Ibn Majah, 2535, whosoever changes his religion, execute. That's pretty lot. See, the reason why I'm doing this is I'm standing in the gap for my son. My son is a Muslim boy kidnapped. He's almost in his mid-30s right now, and so I do this to send the word out, to stand in the gap for my son, because when he does turn away from Islam, I do not want him to be executed. So mom is standing in the gap.
Any good mom is going to do that.
Right.
Oh, hey, go ahead. No. Hold on. Before you go, on, Connie, you said something about what he had told you about what would happen to him if he did apostatize.
Yeah, he admitted it. That's one day. It was about 12 years ago now. I said, Alan, why are you even in Islam? He said, well, they'll kill me if I leave, Mom. And then just came out of my mouth, and why would you ever leave with a group of people that would kill you if you left. You know, so in a sense, you know, me telling him, son, you're with a bunch of murderers. They don't care about your life, you know. I birthed that child. He was kidnapped 2.5 years
ago. I think Issa had something to say.
So your ex-husband was a Muslim? Yes.
He's from Syria. Born and bred in Syria.
That's curious.
Working in my first job at Wendy's. That's where I met him.
You know those
and he was on his visa. Yeah, I gave him his citizenship. We got pregnant. You know, so gave him his citizenship and everything else. Stupid. But you know, I got my son, and therefore the grace of God got mine.
Okay, let's go on to the next one. We're ready to move.
This is the Reliance of the Travelers, so this is Sharia law.
Yep.
So here's the repent and return to Islam. If he does, it is accepted from him. But if he refuses, he is immediately killed. O, this is the alphabet O, 8.3 section. If he is a free man, listen to this, if he is a free man. So, I mean, you're talking about slaves and free men. Okay, I thought Muhammad stopped slavery, right? Another topic, but anyway. No one besides the caliph or his representative may kill him. Oh, how great. Wow. The caliph gets to kill him. If someone else kills him, the killer is disciplined. Oh, for aggregating the caliph's his right and his encroachment upon his rights, as this is one of his duties. So, you know, only the caliph or his representative can kill him. Oh, that's so sweet. Isn't that sweet? And then 084, there is no indemnity. Okay, see on this one, he's punished. If anyone else kills him, he's disciplined.
That's if the caliph is supposed.
The prerogative of the caliph to kill the
right. Okay.
If he leaves Islam and does not repent, then it contradicts himself and says, there is no indemnity, meaning there's no punishment for killing an apostate or any expiation, since it is killing someone who deserves to die. Come on.
Okay, now, Connie, let me just point out something real quick. Okay, so Division 084 there's no indemnity. There's no punishment for killing somebody if they are apostate, meaning that if I go out and I kill an apostate, there's not going to be a punishment for me if, now this is, caliph has not taken the prerogative or has taken the responsibility upon himself to kill that person.
Right.
So that's what that's saying. So I don't know if it's contradictory. It seems like it's contradictory, but if this is only on 8.4, if the caliph has not claimed that responsibility himself. So let's take John. John had to leave. That's right. Let's take some other apostate here. Adam. Adam's in chat. I see. Adam. If Adam is not in a land where the caliph would have any authority over him, because he's not in one of those stands that he came from. So if somebody here in the United States killed him, then 8.4 would apply to them. There would be no indemnity against that person here in the United States, according to or from the stand that Adam came from. Does that make sense? Maybe I got too far into the weeds on that. Doesn't matter.
All I read is there is no indemnity for killing an apostate. It said right here, oh no, the caliph and the representative may only kill him. You know.
If it's the caliph's prerogative, though, if it is the caliph's responsibility to do it, if the caliph doesn't have any authority over this person, meaning if the caliph does not, if the caliph is living in a land, let's say we were in the Ottoman Empire and this person was an apostate in Sweden or someplace. Well, the Ottoman Empire did not extend up into Sweden, and therefore the caliph had no authority over him. So if you had some nut job up in Sweden start driving a knife into the guy's chest, there would be no punishment on this guy if he went back to the Ottoman Empire. Because
they probably need to put that in there is if there's no caliph, then if anybody kills him, then you know, we don't punish him. Yeah. There's no indemnity.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you ask Adam, if he went back to, the stand and they figured out that he was an apostate, would they kill him? I'm fairly certain he'd say the answer. He said, yeah, he said on the show.
According to the country that he came from, you know, if it's 10 days, 3 days, 9 days, whatever, if he still doesn't repent, then they'll kill him immediately.
Yeah.
You know, that's how cold-blooded Islam is, you know. And the people don't have to follow this. You know, that's the thing. People want to live, you know. I mean, what Islam does is basically made a religion that kills people.
Well, it kills people who leave it. That's much as certain.
And that doesn't believe in it.
Correct.
So that's like worldwide. You got globalism right there.
If you don't believe
in it, you're dead. And if you leave it and you don't repent, you're dead.
Yeah.
Right?
The one, let's see.
This is insane. You know, I mean, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel never wrote this stuff. Jesus never did. He even said, you don't believe in me, I don't stand here judging you. My words will judge you in the last days. You know. I mean, even Jesus said, you blaspheme even the Son of God. It's not going to be held against you. You know, I mean, that's how secure the true God of Israel is, you know. But when it comes to Islam, it's such insecure all the way. You don't believe in me, you don't believe in Muhammad, you're dead eventually if we can get to you.
Yeah, there was
the hypocrites are dead if you're not killing with us. We make the call to go and kill everybody. Kill everybody, all the Muslims, kill them all. And if you don't do it, you're a hypocrite, and they can kill you too. So that would include my son, because my son is not a murderer at heart.
I have a...
So this is where I take issue. This is where I stand in the gap for my son, who is a Muslim.
Yeah, I have a picture I want to show here.
Yeah.
It's come up on my screen. Just a second. I would like to take over the show today for 15 minutes. Okay, here. Let me show this. Now, this one, if you notice, this has a button to increase the size of it. Yeah, here we go. Okay. Now, this is, and this is who is this guy? Oh, Kawadawi, there we go, Zawarkadi, head of the Muslim Brotherhood. He says, if they had gotten rid of the apostasy punishment, Islam wouldn't exist today. Islam would have ended since the death of the prophet, peace be upon him. Opposing apostasies is what kept Islam to this day.
Fear.
Yeah, fear. The fear of death. We're going to, you know, it's like the Hotel California type deal.
Fear,
you know.
Living daylights out of you, what you can say.
Yeah. That's...
We're going to scare you to life. We're going to scare you so you'll stay alive. Fear. Fear has done nothing. You know, you can't even do that with your children. Threaten your children.
Well, you can threaten them. You can't threaten them with death. Crazy.
There you go. Well, that's what you can't threaten them with death. And you know, this threat, it's not a religion. You know, it's a camp of where so many people die. And thank God that God has given them a spirit of love and to leave Islam.
Can you hold on just a second? Connie, hold on just a second. Okay, I check your instant messenger for Facebook. I sent you the link there if you want to grab that and come on into there. Okay, go ahead, Connie. Sorry. He said,
what Jesus said.
All right, do that.
To the church on time, you will not be late.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know, tonight, this week our church is having vacation Bible school, and I'm one of the teachers, and I need to get there, and it starts at 6. I'm breaking up. What?
Yeah, you are. You've been breaking up for the past 3 minutes.
Oh, really? Okay, let me check windows here, no problem. There's Adam. Yeah, so we only got, I can go maybe another 10, maybe 15 minutes tops. But okay, Connie, give us the Bible verse.
Okay. Jesus said this. This is what the Messiah said. This is what he said. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. And the word evil here is the only holy one is God himself. You know, we know we do evil. Okay. Know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others as you would have others do unto you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. And here's Paul saying the same thing. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whosoever loves others has fulfilled the law. You know, you're going to speak to someone that's going to help them out. You speak it. Why? Because you love them.
There you go.
In Galatians, Paul says, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself.
There you go. And that's that universal law of love and friendship that the Christian message has that you do not find in Islam. You don't find it at all. I've asked that question several times on the show.
Islam takes you to a hellhole. Islam takes you into, you know, nothing to do with Moses, nothing to do with the prophets, nothing to do with the law. You know, it's making up its own religion and saying, if you don't believe in this God, Allah, and Muhammad, which is shirk, then, you know, you're going to go to hell. And therefore, et cetera.
Okay. Thank you, Connie. We appreciate you and appreciate you doing this so much. We have author Adam made it tonight. He hasn't been on the show for quite a while, come to think about it. Are you there, sir? Hey, you know what? He did a live stream. You did it. Who is that? Okay, Adam, let me ask you before you. Okay, you did a live stream. Was it yesterday with – who was that girl? What was her name? Yeah, the live stream was 6 hours long.
It was 3 hours, 20 minutes.
Oh, okay. All right. Well. I know on her channel it said 6 hours. I'm like, who can talk for 6 hours for crying out loud? Oh, gosh.
Cut short to make it 3 hours something, then 3 hours, 30 minutes or something like that. So, yeah, so that's a live stream. So because, and still, we had a lot of topics that we did not discuss anyway. So she's also an ex-Muslim. She has the roots from Afghanistan, India, and Pakistan, and she's out of all that. And she's an ex-Muslim. She's a Murtad, just like me. So the two Murtads sit together, you know.
She is full of fire. I mean, she was not taking any of it from any of those other people that were on that stream. You guys did a great job. I enjoyed it. Okay, so what are we talking about tonight? We're talking about apostasy.
Yeah, and that's exactly why I jumped in. So today I'm going to talk less, and I'm going to let the scholars of Islam talk more. So I'm going to share some videos. Maybe you'll like it, and then you can comment.
All right.
I just want to hear your comments.
Okay. Are you going to share your screen with these?
Yes. There you go.
Okay.
Multiple live streams on that, but these are short videos, 2 minute video first. Enjoy that.
All right.
قدم مرتد هذا قاعد نفتك أبا حيساب مرتد نورا وصعو عربي انت ادش عمر حاجة هلا زميد الزمري لأن المرتد اللي حرمة له حرمان مرة عني كارتك وله قتل مرتد وأكله بكتاب تادي لا تور هي تشفي لنا تبعوني
ومستأمننا والله ميت كي بلن كغلط الكتاب لودن أقصون بكتير أصون عزم إليه والسبيل الحربين أصغونا اللي أقول يعني نوع عقولي وحا أصحى قال كي رأي ذمي هاي أن كان قال يهوه إذا حربيت أيضو أن رقب أهين أضوه النقطة كابا عايزين تأدي لتؤد ويريست وقبت بعد كرة قال أصح يحل قتل السبيل أي الحربي والمرأة الحربيين الأكل بأكل لله لغيره لماذا عن لأن هاي ميسن هاي عندنا ميسن هاي معصومين معصومي الدم بالأصل وإنما بانتفاء شرط القتل أو الحل وكاسم تاجم هوين إذا حربيته يستبق حربك بيكو ذو الله محرم دينا نلاقيه الذي بنين لاي لكن waxa laga waayay shartigi bama istir laha sababki xillada qitaalkiisa
okay so 3 points basically for a murtad who is a murtad you can just simply cut him kill him cut him cook him fry him eat him but if a murtad is a young boy or a girl haven't reached the age of puberty and a woman, then you need proper justification to cut him and eat him. You need proper justification. But if you are dying out of hunger, then you can obviously do that with a kid or a woman as well. If a murtad is paying a jizya tax, then it is haram. But if you are dying of hunger, then still you can cut him and eat him. But if there is a murtad walking, talking murtad who is adult and is not paying zakat jizya and he is not on the age of puberty, then there is no shara on you not to cut him and eat him and fry him and grill him and eat him. What would you like to say, brother?
It's cannibalism. Right.
I don't even know what you say about it. What do you say? What do you say about something like that?
It's evil. It's evil. We are to hate iniquity, hate evil.
Where's this guy from? Where's this video made?
This guy is reading the book which is taught in the third year of Al-Azhar University.
It is like when you are doing the master's study in another university, that's one of the major book that is being taught. There is a video on my live stream. I have shown this book. I have shown the pages of the book. And I have shown that what is written next out of it, the next chapter is Nikahul Mayyat, the effing with the dead body. And after that, there is another chapter which is called it is another statement of there where they say the Torah and Injil could be used for istanja, which means istanja simply means that when you urinate or do the you clean it with it. So this is what you are taught in the Al-Azhar University. This whole video with all the references and everything is in my live stream. This guy is an Arab. Obviously, he's speaking Arabic. He is reading from the book that is mentioned all the way there, obviously. So,
but what country is this? I mean,
what country is this?
I mean, who comes up?
I would say probably Sudanese, but the one thing I wanted to add to, just to help explain, istinja is the thing that you do. It's the Muslims, when they clean themselves after they relieve themselves in the bathroom, they might use like toilet paper or water. Usually it's water. What Adam is saying is that, according to this understanding, that you could use these scriptures to, you know, maybe basically as toilet paper. That's pretty much it. I just wanted to clarify that.
Exactly. That's what I was saying. Yeah, that's what I was saying, but maybe I didn't say it right.
I was just trying to clarify it for you. No, I understood what you were saying. I was just clarifying for the audience who might not know what that is.
Do you have the link for that? We got somebody in chat wants the link for that video. Can you post
There is another video which is in Arabic. Which is a debate between the two people. I do not have the subtitles on that, so I used that one in my live stream as well, and I showed the live argument between the two sheikhs and all that, and, you know, that's how it is, because Muhammad bin Walid actually did that, according to the references. He killed the murtad, chop off his head. That's also there in that video. You can find it on my channel as well. Chopped off his head, put a pot, put water in it, and put the head in that pot for boil it. And then when the blood was on the ground, he took the wife of that guy and did the nikah with her right on the blood. So, because she became a Malakat al-Yameen after killing his husband, who was a murtad. So, it's all there. It's all there. Khalid bin Walid and all, you can read the stories online as well.
I've heard the story of where Khalid led a fight, and he raped one of the commander's wives in the blood that had drained in the sand or something.
Yes, that's
on those
the same ones. One. That's the same one. Brother.
Yeah. Okay. And it just amazes. And, you know, for people, here's the thing. You know, for people that live in the West, and then you start hearing somebody like this saying these things, it's shock. You know, you have that shock factor there, and the reason why is because we have that universal rule of do unto others here. It's a Judeo-Christian ethic. But when you actually see people who are preaching this, saying, oh, it's okay to kill an apostate, it doesn't matter. You know, you don't give him any food, even if he's on his last breath or whatever, don't help him. It's hard to swallow that. It's hard, and then to compound that or expound that into cannibalism, it's just, Wow.
Demonic.
Yeah, that's a great word.
Depression.
Good description. Okay.
The link is in the private chat for you to share it to everyone.
Yeah, I see. Okay, XYZ, is he the one that, is that right there, YouTube? Okay, that's your channel, I believe, that he put. Oh, you said it was in private chat. That's what you said.
Yeah, in your private chat.
Okay, I'm going to, let me go ahead and post.
And can you put it in regular chat for the people to have?
I'm doing it right now.
This is what Alex Smith is going to do. And the video that I was talking about.
There we go.
Is this one on my channel, if somebody wants it. The title is Muhammad the Mercy to the World. There you go. You can share that. This video has all the references, all the links of killing and eating the apostates because Muhammad is the mercy to all mankind. This is the second link that I just sent you.
Wow,
it has all the other references. I'm sending you so that you, when you will share, it will go to your Facebook and to your YouTube.
Right, I'm posting it right now. There we go. Yep. Okay. Yep.
I think you guys have you guys have talked a lot about apostasy in Quran and Hadith. I just wanted to show what these people are teaching right now as we speak in their universities. So, what do you have to say for that?
There are no words. I mean, when you start, when like
there's so many people are leaving.
No wonder, no, everybody's trying to get out of the Hotel California. Yeah, when you have people that that have never seen this before, I mean, this is, like I said, it shocks the sensibilities of somebody that that lives in the West. I would never imagine, and even in the worst cultures on this planet, where they would be encouraging people to cannibalize other human beings simply because they don't follow the same faith system as they. You know, you've heard of these, you know, these tribes in Central South America or in Africa or out in the, you know, Asia someplace where, you know, it's common to practice cannibalism as a form of intimidation other tribes. But you wouldn't think it would be mainstream as a religious practice. Yeah. You know, in warfare, okay, I understand it's a ways to intimidate, to scare the daylights out of, you know, your enemies. But in warfare, no, sir. Or outside of warfare.
No.
No, I just
because
can't see
fear,
it.
It ticks us off, you know, and it just makes us want to tell the truth that much more. You're to love each other and not do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Because from another religion, you know, would they like it if we turned around and started saying, you know, let's go ahead and eat them because they're Muslims or Buddhist or something like that. That's preposterous.
Yeah.
That's demonic.
Yeah, these are the websites that you are showing. This is in my video, and the links are in description as well. These are the websites that shows that this is being taught in Al-Azhar University, and in a year, the graduates are 300,000 or something. That's what they are showing. If I'm not mistaken, that they are around 300,000 or maybe 30,000. Please excuse me because I haven't recently checked it out yet. This video has been done maybe almost 6 to 7 months ago. These are all the websites. So 297,000, so almost 300,000 students studying at Al-Azhar University.
Wow.
Between 2013 and 2014. And this is the book that, and you know, so these students are taught the theological legitimacy of cannibalizing infidels. So the book name is Al-Yawmul Sabi in Egypt. So, no, that's a university, but somewhere up there is the book as well. So this is what it is, brothers and sisters. Then somebody from the West comes up, he stands in front of me on a live channel and says Islam is a religion of peace. You know how much angry I feel because look what is it. This book is called Al-Inaqul Fair Al-Fazl Ibn Abi Shagura, Convincing Argument According to Abi Shagura. This book is one of your major books that has been taught, and in that book you have references. You have references with Khalid bin Walid, who done this with Al-Nawaira. So you have all these references in these books. And they say that it is legalized and allowed and okay. So how can somebody come stand in front of me and denounce something when he does not go to Al-Azhar University,
when he does not go there and say, you guys are stupid idiots, demonic people, you should remove these books from your study and stop teaching them, how can he come up and stand in front of me and say Islam is the religion of peace?
I'm just speechless. I'm just tongue-tied after listening to this guy. Where, you know, you just cannot fathom that type of evil in this world. You just cannot. And then to tie it to a religion, and I know, I would hope that most Muslims on this planet don't believe that. I'm fairly certain that the overwhelming majority do not. But what is scary, and this is what is frightening to me, is that there is a percentage that do, and that they're teaching this in Al-Azhar. Folks, Al-Azhar is the most prominent university in all of Sunni Islam. Am I correct on this?
Yes, it is a top notch.
Yeah, and if you're teaching this to 300,000.
What country is this?
Egypt. That's Egypt.
Egypt. Wow. Egypt that kicked out the Muslim Brotherhood?
That's right.
Wow.
That doesn't make any sense. I mean, they won't have the Brotherhood, but then they'll have capitalism.
Okay, look.
Eric, you gotta go.
I got to go.
I'm going to show you one more.
Okay.
No,
it's okay. It's okay. No. The next generation doesn't start it. We got 17 minutes till the next generation gets. I can miss one. All right, let's go.
You made a statement of Karadavi, so listen it from the horse's own mouth.
Okay.
There
you
go. إنما جزاء الذين يحاربون الله ورسوله ويسعون الفضل أن يقتلوا أبو سلم جاء عن أبي قلابة وغيره من التابعين إن هذه جاءت في المرتدين وجاءت أحاديث كثيرة مش حديث واحد ولا اثنين ولا ثلاثة أحاديث كثيرة عن عدد من الصحابة يعني في أن يقتل المرتد حديث ابن عباس من بدل دينه فاقتلوه حديث ابن مسعود لا يحل امرين الا من احدى ثلاث السيب الزاني والنفس
بالنفس
والتارك لدينه المفارق للجماعه وحديث ابي موسى الاشعري ومعاذ ابن جبل وابي هريره وعدد من الصحابه
So, you just stated him in words. I just showed him from the horse's own mouth what he said. So, he just stated it. Two points that he stated. Point number one, he said, if the apostasy law was not there, the religion Islam would have died right after the death of Muhammad, as we see that there was apostate war for 1 year by Abu Bakr.
Mm-hmm.
That was Hurb al-Ridda, the war of apostates.
Ridda wars.
And after that, he said he gave the Quranic verse 533, and then he collected it with multiple hadiths, and he said there are multiple narrations from multiple Sahaba. Then whoever changes the religion, man batal deenhu, fa'uktulu, kill him. So he collected all of them. The horse's own mouth is saying that. You cannot run away from that subject. So now, to all these peaceful Muslims, when can you guys go to Al-Azhar University, go to the Saudi Arabia consulate, stand in front of them in a crowd and say this is all demonic, we need to remove these and we need to finish them. They are stupid, demonic, idiotic, inhumane, because Islam is a religion of peace. We should remove 533 from Quran. We should remove all these ahadiths. When are you guys going to do it before coming to my channel and saying Islam is a religion of peace? That would be all.
My guess is no time soon. That's my guess. That's just me thinking. Okay, Adam, thank you for that information. We appreciate those videos and you sharing again tonight. You need to be back here more often. Connie, thank you again for coming tonight and sharing what you did. And we understand standing in the gap is there for your boy. That you're a good mama. And who else was here? John was here. John was here. Issa, thank you for coming. John, thank you for presenting. And we had Steve was here. Rad was even here before the show, and everybody in chat, thank you again for coming. That means a lot to me that you guys come in here. You could be doing a lot of other things, and some of you, and Chris was, I'm sorry, I can forget about Chris. Doggone it, he's going to get on me about that too. The thing is, I see Dragon. Dragon is like the mod on anybody who has a live stream on YouTube. I don't know how they do that. Them and Gedalia both. You guys are out of control.
Oh, yeah, Gedalia
is great. Is that a Gedalia? Okay, I misspelled.
Dragana Daenerys is on fire for Christ. She is on
fire. Oh, that's a she. Oh.
Dragana, yes.
I think I've called.
Come on, man. Dragana Daenerys, the mother of the dragons. Come on, brother. That's from Game of Thrones. Exactly.
I don't watch Game of Thrones. I don't. Never mind. I gotta go, folks. God bless you all. No, I just don't have any time. I have a life. All right. God bless you. Love you guys. We'll see you next time. All right. Bye now.
Thank you.
All right, my Facebook or my Blog Talk Radio folks. Thank you for coming. We will see you next time on Radio Free Kafiristan.